Welcome to this message by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop Edwin Ogo is a seasoned minister of the Word of God whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of the ministry are a great inspiration to ministers all over the world. He pastors the Makanere Cathedral in Oyibi, where he ministers powerfully in various services, transforming lives and raising zealous church workers. You will experience the transformational force and power of God's Word as he ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Are you happy to be in church this morning?
Oh, yes. Oh,
are you excited to be in church this morning?
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, it's that time of the service. We have worshipped. Yes. We have prayed. We have glorified God. I want you to stand to your feet this morning. Oh, first worship, stand to your feet. I want us to receive to our international pulpit.
My God.
The man of God, our pastor, our bishop. Oh, I can feel an excitement in your voice. The best place to be on a Sunday morning where the freshest, nicest word from God's heart is ministered to us is right here at the First Works Experience. And this morning, my heart is filled with expectation as we receive our pastor, our bishop, the Bishop Edwin Morgan. Oh God, put your hands together, make some noise.
Keep clapping your hands. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and ask the Lord to speak to you. Ask the Lord to speak to your heart this morning. Ask the Lord, you know, you are about to hear his word. You know, ask him to speak his word to you. His word is life. His word is light. And that life and light will transform your life. Father, we thank you. We are grateful to you. We thank you for the blessing of this great opportunity. Opportunity to hear you. Opportunity to be in your presence. Ish. In this evil world, that we can have a place to come to. We are grateful. Guide us. Lead us in your blessings. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. And you want to turn your Bible to the foundational scripture we are using for the series I have been teaching. And you find that in Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 13. And I would like us to have the New American. Oh, that's fine. That's fine. New Living Translation. Yeah. It says, it says that you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. We can actually stop reading here and let the second part become your homework. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gates. Well, since we've turned to it, the highway to hell, the way to hell is broad. And its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. Which means that you are the one, you determine which way you are on.
You're choosing.
Yes, there is a broad way and there's a narrow way. Everybody has a broad way and a narrow way, and you choose which one.
I see.
Okay. The broad way, let's continue to verse 14. It says, but the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. So if you combine verse 13 and verse 14, you will see that another word for God's kingdom is life. If you go to verse 13, I don't know if the person can put the two verses together, but if you can, don't worry. We all have different levels of skills. But you see, look at it. The narrow gate is used to enter God's kingdom. Then verse 14. The narrow road is the gateway to life. So God's kingdom is where life is. If you are not in God's kingdom, whatever you are experiencing is not life. You can have money. You can have friends. You can have beauty. You can have first class. You can have degrees. It's something else. It's not life. Life is only found in God's kingdom. Life is only found in God's kingdom. And the road which takes you there is a difficult and a narrow road. And all I've done these past weeks is to show you how come that road is difficult. Because there are things you must do when you are on that road.
Okay.
Which make the road difficult to travel on. And the 13th verse says that the only way to God's kingdom. You see, some of us today, we've come to church. And I believe that there are some few people here. God is drawing you to him. Yeah. I remember how he began to draw me. And it's amazing how even the time God chooses to draw you to him. Sometimes you are deep in sin. You would have thought that normally when God waits, when you are on a break from your wild ways, like you are resting a little, then he comes to call you. But he is so powerful, actually. He's so powerful. No matter what you are doing, in the midst, in the depths of sin, he can just pick you out and bring you near him and change your life. This morning, no matter where you have been and what you are doing in your life, he can change you. It's the heart. Once the heart is changed, the human being is changed. He changed my heart. Yeah. Being in church doesn't mean your heart is changed. Yeah. Some of you sitting here, your heart is not changed. Your heart is not changed. That is why you can actually combine this church dancing and so on, life, choir life, with unbeliever life. I mean, worldly. Some of you are very worldly. Worldly. I mean, nobody in the church can imagine your secret life you are living. Nobody knows it. And it's all because your heart. And by the way, let me not also say to you that your ability to hide your secret life doesn't mean you are smart. That's important. Your ability to hide your secret life is just, in the English phrase is, it's just in keeping with your nature as a man. Yeah. We men are liars. Yes, that's what the Bible says. God is not a man that he should lie. So we are liars. That's why God is not a man. That's why God doesn't lie. But we lie. And the word lie is not just drinking the milk, and when you are asked that, did you drink the milk? You say no. It's a lie, but it's far, far bigger than that. Your ability to live a secret, sinful life is a lie.
Your life is a lie.
Your ability to give an impression of who you are to people, which is far from the reality, is a lie. Uh-huh. So I'm just saying that if you are able to hide something and hide a certain life, or like you are here with Bishop George, you see him, you smile, then when he turns, you have other discussions, other heteros discussions, with words that you'll be amazed to hear. Because you can have discussions. I have private secret discussions about my pastor. And I wouldn't even want you to hear, because the words are too great. The words are very great. That I wouldn't want him to hear that. Even that's how great I think of him. But I don't turn from my pastor, and I'm using very negative words. I'm saying that all these type of things we do, they are in keeping with, it's an expression in English, in keeping with your nature as a liar. That's what makes you deceptive. That's what makes you hide things. That's what makes you live a double life. That's what makes you live, give impressions and presentations and things that are not true. So this is just a side comment, that don't think that if you can hide a lie from your mother or your pastor or your friend, it means you are a smart guy. No. Every human being is smart. A liar is a smart person. Every human being is a liar. Now, back to the point I am making. I'm saying that if you are here and your intention is to know God and to draw closer to God, and God is drawing you to him, you can feel that God is pulling you out of some friendships. God is pulling you out of a certain life. He's changing your heart and making you love him. If you are here like that, and you feel that God is drawing you to him, then this message I'm preaching is appropriate, because the way to God, the way to your new life, is a narrow way and a difficult way. If you are not prepared to live that difficult life, then you can go back to your old life. But just understand, you see, like even the English I'm using is not a good one. Say, you can go back to your old life. As if that one is a life. It's not a life. We better find another word for that life, because the word life is only applied, or should only be applied, to the kingdom of God life. Outside the kingdom of God, I don't know what you are living, but it's not life. There's no life there. No matter what money you have, no matter how popular you have, there are musicians, when they make a song,
unbelievers, you just make a song. I mean, within 1 hour, 4 million people are streaming the song. Very popular. They are known. They are in concerts in America, concerts in Dubai, concerts in Lagos. They fill Accra Sports Stadium. With, I mean, you can be popular. But that thing you are seeing on social media, the pictures or the girls, and the, it's not life. It's something else. It's not life. Life is only found in God's kingdom. It's called abundant life. John 10:10. Abundant life. So if you intend to come into God's kingdom, the road is difficult and narrow. It's difficult. But God gives us grace to live that difficult life. What are some of the difficulties? What are some of the things that make the life difficult? Number one is that, one, the difficulty of breaking worldly behaviors, worldly lifestyles, maybe we should say, lifestyles that are worldly.
Yeah.
It's not an easy thing to live a certain way in the world and then you have to change. Change is not a nice thing for anybody.
No.
It requires something to change. And when you have lived your life fornicating, betting, smoking, drinking, partying, girls, friends, moving around, and now you must sit down and be in your right mind and pray and go for outreach and not insult your mother and change your friend. It's a difficult life. It's difficult. But are you ready to do it? If you are not ready to do it, it means that you can't enter God's kingdom. You'll be outside. That's all. If you want to do it, then you are welcome. That's what we did. I also lived a worldly life. I had to break that life. Break free from it.
Lifestyle.
The lifestyle had to change.
Wow.
Number two. The difficulty of leaving worldly friends.
Leave them.
A friend is a friend.
A friend is a
part of your life. A real friend, you can't even live without that friend. I'm not talking about girlfriend, boyfriend. I mean, your friend. A friend is a part. In fact, the Bible says there's a friend who is even closer than a brother. So when you say, oh, somebody is my friend, you are not. It's not a light statement. A friend is not a light word. It's a very, very serious word. A part of you is in the person. A part of the person is in you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now to separate yourself from that friend, it's not easy. So people choose to be in church, be so-called born again, and still continue their old worldly friendships. And once you have friends in the world, it means, James says that, don't you know that being a friend of the world means you are the enemy of Christ?
That's what it means.
That is why we break up with friends. Because when there is a worldly friend in your life, it means that you are the enemy of God. James chapter 4 verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that, can I have the New King James or some other version? You adulteresses. Give me NIV. You adulterous people. Don't you know that friendship with the world means The meaning is that it means enmity. Enmity is a little complex word. It's enemy.
Okay.
Enmity against God. Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. So you don't need to rise up as God's enemy. You can't. It's madness. I mean, how can you be God's enemy? We can only describe you as a mental patient.
Yes. Ready to die.
To rise up and say that I am the enemy of God. I mean, why are you even going to find God to fight? I mean, what do you mean by being an enemy of God? You can't. It's a status you can't just attain. It's like, I want to be God's enemy. Uh-huh. So because it's something very wild and bizarre, many people don't know that they are already God's enemies by who their friend is. When your friend is an unbeliever, you are an enemy of God. If you are sitting here and you have a friend, I mean a friend you chat with, you visit, he's in your life, a part of your life. If you find yourself in the person's area at midnight, you can't even sleep in the person's house. You chat, you share jokes, and it's your friend. And that person is not born again, and it's your friend. It means that you, sitting in church as a born-again Christian, you are an enemy of God. It's not that you are going to be, or you will be an enemy, or you are likely to be. The possibility that you will be an enemy is very high because of the friend you have. Chances are high. No, it's not that you are going to be, or chances are high. You actually are an enemy of God. You are God's enemy. You are God's enemy. That is the reason why we break up with unbeliever friends that we had before we got to know Jesus. That is the reason. If anybody will ask you, why should you break up with unbeliever friends? James 4:4. Because I've come to God. I've come to God's kingdom. I love God. I want to be with God. How can you want to be with somebody and be a person's enemy? Yes. A good way to understand what we are talking about is being in, this is my pastor. I am with him. Very nice pastor. Good pastor. And I like him. He prays for me. I am his son. Spiritual son. And I'm with him. But for some 2-3 years, or 1 month, or 2 months, for some time, this girl is known not to like this pastor, this man who is my spiritual father. She's known. Writing things on social media to insult him. Oh, he doesn't even write. In fact, she was with him. She has left him. She has left him. She has left him. She has left him. She's no more with him. She's no more in his church. Meets people and says negative things about him. And this man that she has left, he is my spiritual father. Then you find out that this, she is my friend. Like she's celebrating her birthday party and she invites me. Now, please listen to me. There has never been a time that I've had a confrontation with my pastor. This is my spiritual father. I honor him with money. If you want to have a crusade, I'm the one who goes to organize a crusade.
Advance him.
I am his son. I wash his car in the morning. There has never been a time that I have been negative or adversarial to him. Never. I am his son. Now, my friendship with this girl automatically, without quarrels or insults, I am his enemy. Just by being a friend to this girl, it makes me automatically an enemy of this person. Just based on who is my relationship. Your auntie hates your mother. They are quarreling. They don't talk. Your mother and your mother's sister, they don't talk. Quarreling, insults, whatever. And then you, your mother's daughter, you are that auntie's best friend. The meaning is that you are your mother's enemy. You don't need to quarrel with your mother. You don't need to remove your mother's wig and slap your mother with it. In fact, you cook for your mother. You sweep her room. But the fact that you are somebody who hates her, you are the person's friend. So watch your friendships. Your friendships are not neutral. Your friendships determine who is your enemy. Before you make somebody your friend, find out very well what the person's life is about. Because if the person is opposed to something you claim you love, I mean, this lady doesn't like my pastor, doesn't like my church, and she's my friend. Please. You can't say that because you are in the church, you are in the choir. In fact, you are a dancing star. You are in the choir. You are an usher. And you are also a fellowship leader. And you pay the biggest tithe. Listen, it doesn't matter. The fact that your best friend is a hater of your church makes you the church's enemy. I'm showing you that there is a way to know an enemy. There is a way to know an enemy. An enemy is not just somebody who fights you. An enemy is not somebody who insults you. An enemy is not somebody who slaps you. All these can be used to describe enemies. But an enemy can be close and friendly to you based on the person's friendship to another enemy. You are the person's enemy. An enemy. It's not somebody who fights you. An enemy is somebody who is a friend to your enemy. You've heard the saying, the friend of my enemy is my enemy. This is it. It's James 4:4. The world is God's enemy. They hated God so much that they killed his son. The world is not friendly with God. The world mocks God. And that is the place you have chosen to be a friend with. Let me read again. You adulterous people. And adultery is being married, and you are also having a sexual relationship with another woman. Adultery is not eating another woman's food. Adultery is not adultery is not drinking another woman's Pepsi Cola or Coca Cola. Because the only thing that makes marriage marriage is sex.
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
Yeah.
It's the only thing.
Yeah.
Everything else, you do it with other people. Other people do many things. The only is one. What makes you different from this girl is that you are in a relationship with a man. She also has got relationships. Don't you have relationships with men and boys? Plenty of them. Yeah. Yes. Plenty of them. She also has many relationships with men and boys. But this woman has sex. That's just... She cannot have sex. So if you are here and you are having sex more than a married woman, then you are a professor. We should come to you for studies and tutorials. This type of marriage, wedding ring, is there sex? I'm telling you. The only thing about marriage is sex. It's not your wife will cook for you, she will clean your room, she will wash. I mean, people wash your things, people clean your room. I mean, people, that's what it is. I think you remove cobwebs, what are they doing? Sit in your car, whatever. So, when you are married to somebody and you engage in sexual relations with another person, then you are an adulterous person. You are an adult. Adulterous. Adultery. Doing adult things. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity? Look, this series I'm preaching, I'm free. If it's on Sundays, there will even be no new point. I'll just recap. Yeah. I want you to understand the Christian life. It's not as you are thinking. You just come and sit in church. Then you say you are born, or you go and win a soul. You say you are born again. I'm explaining to you. Yeah. What makes it difficult? And if anybody here who's not experiencing that difficulty, it's not on the road. Don't you know that friendship with the world means, it means the meaning of your behavior. Yeah. The meaning. We know you've not said you are an enemy of God. We know you've not done anything that shows that you are an enemy of God. But by your opposite, God is dead. There's no God. God is a fool. Wicked God. Nonsense God. You've never said that. But your friend. Doesn't like God. It means all your. You see, that's why it's time to watch people's behaviors and not listen to the words they use to talk to you. Yeah. Anybody who is affected too much by people's words is very, 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 very immature. You should not be affected by text messages. When you read messages, you should just read it and reply. Watch people's behaving. People's behaving. People's behaving. Watch their behaving. Watch what they are doing. Their behavior. Look at it. It's more the message the person is giving you than this type of nice sounding chats on the phone with humble words and endearing comments. And so on. Watch the behavior. And when you see that there's a mismatch between the behavior and the words, you just put the person aside somewhere and just keep living your life. Sometimes you don't even need to say anything. 8 out of 10, you make no comment. You just allow what is going on to just go on. But just know that the person's behavior is speaking more. God, people are... Based on the school you attended and the books you've read, you will have words.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
based on the school you attended, you will have words, ability to explain. Remember that a man, when you see a man, you are seeing a liar. Like this man is a liar.
Yeah.
This is a liar.
Yeah.
I am a liar.
Yeah.
A man is a liar. Not originally. A man is a liar. A man is a liar. It's not originally a man eats or a man breathes. No. A man, we are liars. And it's something we fight. We must fight it every day because it's not by being born again. No. It's your nature. A man is a liar. This is a liar in yellow. Yes. So she has to make sure that she doesn't live that life. Because the tendency is there to say words you don't mean. To give an impression which is not real. As I've come to church, I'm holding my wife's hand. Before I went up to preach, I gave her a peck. Or I brought, even before I preached, I brought her to the stage. And she said something nice to the church. And then she came to sit down. I held her hand to sit down. Meanwhile, in the house, we don't even talk. We are quarreling.
It's not as it seems.
It's an impression we are giving the world. And it's not strange. It's not. That is how we are. We are liars. We deceive ourselves. We deceive people. We are not correct. The only hope we have is the word of God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the power of God. That is what is breaking through. It's breaking through. Breaking through. So what makes the narrow way difficult? Take me back. Breaking away from friends.
Breaking away.
It's difficult. Number three. Denying yourself the pleasures of sin. The human being, the human body is primed to like things that bring pleasure. Pleasure is one of the positive reinforcements. Pleasure is a very important plus. If you want a man to do something, just attach things that give pleasure. I'll say it again. If you want a man to do something, just attach things that give pleasure. You won't need to whip the person to do it. The pleasure part of that thing. That's why God could create only two people. And now we are 6 billion. Because, and he said it. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Yeah. But so what makes us fruitful? He attached pleasure to it. That's all. If you want someone to do something, just find something that gives pleasure. And add it to it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's called a positive reinforcement.
Okay.
And our nature is that we like pleasure. We are not made to stay away from pleasure. Even when you know that this thing can kill you, the fact that there's a pleasure part of it existing draws you to it, even though you know it will destroy you. There's nobody who doesn't know that alcohol can destroy your life. But there's a pleasure part. Yeah. Yeah. Even the sweat bubbles on the bottle gives you some feeling that you are doing something wild. I'm saying it again. As human beings, apart from being liars, we also draw towards pleasures. A human being doesn't move away from pleasures. He rather moves towards. That's how we are. So when you say to somebody that he should move away from pleasures, you are making life uncomfortable and you are introducing something abnormal. Especially if it's something I have been doing and I like it. And you are telling me to move away. I thought that you would rather ask me to do more of that thing. But to say I should move away from something that gives me pleasure, you are making life difficult. And I don't like you. I don't like you. What are some of the pleasures of life? Sex.
That's right. Number one on the list. Top five, number one on the list.
Sexual feelings. Things that enhance your feelings. You may not have actual sex, but even sometimes, just being with a person, you don't even touch the person. You don't need to touch. Just being with a person gives you pheromones. Pleasures. Pheromones. When you tell someone, never, like telling somebody who likes fertility, that don't eat it again. From now on, eat biscuit with tea. Tea and biscuit. Why? Tea. No, I'm not talking about Milo tea. I'm talking about green tea. Without sugar or milk. And biscuits. This way chocolate drink. And one is your share. Ladies and gentlemen, the Christian life requires you to break away from behaviors that are like fertility, that's like fufu. And it's difficult. It's very difficult. I mean, can you imagine yourself not eating banku? I mean, they say, never eat banku and tilapia again. It's like saying that I should commit suicide. Now, unbelievers have pleasures that are like banku and tilapia. Fufu and light soup with oil on top, with beef, nam tolo beef, and this type of chicken, fish, and all that. Yeah. And you are saying that I shouldn't eat it. No. Ladies and gentlemen, why? When you become born again, there are things you must stay away from. It's just like never eating fufu again. Imagine before I got born again, I was clubbing like 4 times a week. Now I am born again. They say I shouldn't go to a nightclub. I shouldn't even listen to unbeliever music. I mean, if God hasn't done a work on and in your heart, it's not possible. I mean, can you imagine sitting here and never listening to Stone Boy again, but you are rather listening to Kirk Franklin and First Love Music and Tego Sisters and Donny McLeck? What is Donny McLeck? Is it a food or is it a fast food? Donny McLeck, is it fast food? It is that thing that people cannot. That's why I say that most people are on the Broadway. The Broadway is the easy life. While you are a church member, you've come to that for 2 hours, then you are going back to your unbeliever friends, unbeliever pleasures, unbeliever music. It's so easy. There's no sweat. Number four. The difficulty of learning new habits. Christian habits. Yeah. You cannot teach an old dog new tricks. And when we say, most of us here are old dogs. Some of you, I mean, I was a 16-year-old boy. When we say old dog, we're not talking about a 94-year-old woman. It's not a number. An old dog is somebody who has been doing something, who is so used to a way of life, and you are now teaching the person something totally different. In fact, something totally the opposite of what the person knows. Every morning, my Hausa Coco and my Kose, my afternoon Banku, and so on. And I say, I should fast. I mean, what? Fast for what? Fasting is what? You mean I shouldn't eat? I mean, why? That's why some of you cannot fast. When you are fasting 10 a.m., then your eyes are rolling. 10 a.m., your eyes are rolling. So, Pastor, when I fast, I get hungry. I don't know if you are listening to me. Whether you are listening to me or not, I'm saying that the reason why it is difficult to enter God's kingdom is that to enter God's kingdom, you must learn new things. You must learn to pray. Learn to be in church. Learn to read your Bible. Learn to even have a Bible. And to read the Bible. And obey. I mean, these are all foreign things. Very strange suggestions and bizarre lifestyle. Jesus is speaking tongue. What? I mean, is this a mental institution or what? What does it mean? So people prefer to be in the church and not speak in tongues. They prefer to be in the church and not read their Bible. It's a broad way. Most of you here haven't read your Bible this week or today. You've not read your Bible. Before you got born again, what you were looking at was pornography. Asian pornography, Indian pornography, Filipino pornography, Sri Lankan pornography, Nigerian pornography, Ashanti pornography. And now you must read your Bible. Anybody sitting here? You don't read your Bible every day. You don't read your Bible every day. You don't obey the word of God. The Bible doesn't influence the things you do. You are not on the narrow way. You are on the broad way. And you are not entering into life. You are not there. You are doing something else. The people on the narrow way, I think the next one or the next two. Let's see the next one. Now five is what? The difficulty of being under authority. You did whatever you want to do. You go where you want to go. You wear what you want to wear. You eat what you want to eat. You do what you want to do. Suddenly now you got a pastor who says, don't wear that. Don't go there. Come here. Sit down. What is that? What is that? That's it. The Christian, the narrow way will impose an authority figure over your life. And the Bible says in Hebrews 13:14 that we must obey them and submit ourselves. Imagine you, even at home, you don't obey your father. You don't obey your mother. She talks, you talk back to her. He talks, you talk back to him. One brother said to me yesterday, my father slapped me and I also wanted to slap him. But I told him that I pity you. He told his father that I pity you. That's why I will not slap you. His father slapped him. And he wanted to slap him back. But I don't know for what reason. I think he had just become born again. And he felt they shouldn't slap. So he told his father that, I will not slap you back. I just pity you. The father went mad. He here, you don't do what you want to do. Do you want that life? You don't want it. Then be on the Broadway. Be on the Broadway. Just be on the Broadway. You want to go and find a guy to marry you. You just bring the person to your pastor, Bishop George, and ask him, you can you bring him? So, this is the one I am going to marry. Please pray for him for me. His opinion about the suitability of that person is not the point. You're on your own. I'm saying that it is difficult. It's difficult for someone to come to your house at 6:30 and say that, but we are going to church. In fact, he does that 4 times. Then he doesn't come again. He calls and says, where are you? He says, I'm in bed. Yeah. Nonsense. Get up and come to church. Ah. Why are you shouting at me? Here we shout. Here we shout. In the kingdom of God, they're shouting. Reproof is not something you do undertone. It's strong and frontal. You reprove the person. It's wrong. And the scriptures, 2 Timothy 3:16, the scriptures are for reproof. We use the word of God to beat people. That's the whip. Do you want it? Do you want a life where somebody tells you, sit down, take your Bible, read it, and send me a text. Tell me what you learned. Ah, am I a child for you? What nonsense is it? Oh, you don't want it? Then there's a broad way. On the narrow way, point number 6. On the narrow way, our only options are the Bible. What the Bible? I'm repeating myself. I don't mind at all. I'll preach it again and again and again and again and again and again. Preach it again. It's difficult to have no other options. On the Broadway, this is my wife. This is my girlfriend. This is also my girlfriend. When the two of them are in their period, I go to this one. She has stopped having her period. But on the narrow way, this is my wife.
One and only.
We fight. She's my only choice.
No option. She's in her period.
She's there.
Hey!
We are together. She's nice to me. That's my wife. We have quarreled. That's what. But some of you will marry, and when you quarrel with your wife, you drive out of the house to the next girlfriend. The narrow way. You see, it's narrow because there are walls, there are limits, and the limits are imposed by the word of God. The limits are not what you want. Because what we want to do, how many of you have got many ways you'd have done? I mean, if the service was being streamed online, it's a live stream. There are cameras here. Because soon there'll be air conditioning here, video cameras. And I mean, this one is, it's not, it's It's a real beginning of a church. It's a real beginning. I'm happy you are here with a fan. You will not need this fan again soon.
You need a cardigan.
You come to church with as if you are in Norway. If you were having live streaming, you would have an option to be at home and to. Meanwhile, you live just here. But live streaming is for people who are in Czechoslovakia. The brother who was here, who has now got a scholarship to Sweden. Studying abroad. Not for you. At Agoba. The Bible says that not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I'm just saying that the Bible imposes limits. You can't cross this line. No matter how your father hasn't taken care of him, of you, you cannot not honor him. You can't feel like slapping your father. And if you don't slap him, you can't tell your father you pity him. You can't tell your father you pity him. The Bible doesn't allow you. So even if you pity him, you swallow your saliva. That's the kingdom. The kingdom is a narrow tunnel. And the walls that make up the tunnel are the scriptures in the Bible. They don't allow you to be free to do what you want to do. In the morning, you don't have options to either do Facebook or Instagram or a verse. Your only option when you wake up is the Bible. Limits. And it's difficult. You wake up in the morning, you want to just look at pictures and colors, and you just go to Facebook, you just see, go to your news, whatever, you just see exciting things, pictures, church services, this pastor, this whatever. It's nice. I mean, they say, go and read Nahum. Hey! Obadiah. Hey! Go and read Nahum. Go and read Ezekiel. Sixth March. We should wear our shorts and t-shirt with ice chest, with food. We go to La Beach and sit down, even as Christians, not unbelievers. As Christians, just go to La Beach or Collegonal Beach with your bar center. You sit down with jollof rice, you eat, you swim a little, you come now. Sixth March, we should go to Mampong. We are going to fast in Mampong. 18 hour prayers. You are praying for 18 hours. I mean, what is that? What do you do? Obey them that have ruled over you. Ask your neighbor, are you ready to have narrow options? Or you want to be, ask her, do you want to be here and do what you want to do? Ask her, you to ask her. What you want to do is what you do. It's difficult. Say. Don't tell us. We know it's difficult. We know it's difficult. What I really want to wear this morning is not the shirt I'm wearing. It's difficult. What I really would like to do this morning is not to stand here in this hot weather to be speaking to people who don't even understand what I'm saying. But I am under authority. And the most powerful authority is the authority of the Holy Spirit. Hey. Now, even when nobody is there, your heart is pricking you. That the man touched your nipple, one nipple. He touched just one nipple. You will not have your peace of mind for 2 weeks. I mean, the next time you see the man here, you pass here. There's no pastor in this. There's no shepherd in this. There's a Holy Ghost in it who is guiding you and putting limits on your life. Holy Ghost. Because his primary work in our lives is that he restrains us. The main work of the Holy Ghost is not to let you speak in tongues. The main work of the Holy Ghost is to restrain you. He's called the restrainer. He limits your movements. He puts a block here. He blocks here. Even when you are doing outreach, he blocks where you can go and where you can't go. The restrainer. Many of you are only restrained by human pastors. But when there's no one there, like Joseph is there alone with somebody's wife, no one is there. And it's not that he is going to rape the woman, or he is dragging the woman so she can, the woman will be enumerated. The woman herself is the one who is saying to you that, young man, avail your services to me. He said, no, there's nobody here. When I sleep with you, nobody will know. But there's a God here. The presence of God places major limitations. The liberty the Bible says we have is our, it's liberty with restrictions. In fact, the more restricted you are, the freer you are.
I'll take it again.
The more restricted you are, the freer you are. Like, this is my wife, and I'm restricted to her. This woman says she likes me. I'm not interested. This woman came to remove her clothes. I'm not interested. This is my wife. These girls are sending me text messages. This is my wife. You can see that. Since this is my wife and we are just us, you can see how free I am. And I'm preaching. I'm talking freely. The freedom to preach. If I was here in this service with three girlfriends, I'd be preaching on forgiveness. Or what? Money. Tithes and offerings. Today we are discussing tithes and offerings. But because I am restricted, I am free. You see, your liberty is in your ability to be restricted. When you've not taken somebody's money, you are free to preach what you want to preach. You say something is wrong. What you are doing is wrong. It's wrong. You are not my paymaster. But if I'm here, I've taken money from NDC. And this church building was built by the NPP local organizing committee. I can't stand and speak anyhow against any party that is what, because my hands are tied. Don't allow freedoms in your life. Restrict yourself. Limit yourself. There is your freedom. There is your freedom. It's your freedom. You are free. I mean, wouldn't you want to be free to go to school? Wouldn't you want to be free to do university? Wouldn't you want to be free to do your master's? But there are boys here who can do that. Because they are not free. Any money they get, they must buy Pampers, Nido, Nanwan, take care of a woman. The boy is now going to nursery. There's no space for the money. But there are boys who are free. Give a boy here 1,000 Ghana. He's going to buy legal forms. Give another guy here 1,000 cedis. He's going to rent a house because the woman is moving from her mother's house. The baby is making noise. Sin limits you, restricts you. When you are free to sin, you say your life, even as I'm preaching, like this morning, Bishop George is happy. Florence, we are all happy. Some of you sitting here, you are not happy. You are sweating more than the weather here is allowing you. Because and whenever you come to church, you are not free. Because you are not restricted in your life. The Bible doesn't place limits on you. So you can't be free to be amongst us. Tense. But when you are free, your hands are not stained. See, the prince of this world comes. Doesn't have anything on me. I'm here. There's no member here who can say, I've come to collect your money. I've not paid back. Or I've borrowed your car. I've not brought it. or I've slept with your little sister, or I met you in a room and squeezed your breast. You can see how I'm preaching freely. I'm free. I'm really free. Why? Because I am, you may not know, but I am limited. Because, see, the girls I can sleep with, I mean, on a regular day, there are 15 of them. 12 are married and 3 are single. It's not a problem.
Potential.
I'm free to preach any subject. Any subject. I can preach on tithe right now. I can preach on holiness right now. I can preach on righteousness. Last night I was preaching on holiness. The holy garments. Last night, the holy garments. I mean, I was freely quoting scriptures. And there were many beautiful girls there. But I was preaching, God, there's no girl there that has received. Like when I turn to that area, I say, the Lord forgive us as we pray. Let's lift up our hands and pray. No, I speak from here to here. I say the same thing everywhere. Because I am free. I'm saying that your freedom is in your restricted life. It rather makes you free. That's your freedom. Some of you guys sitting here, you can't be a pastor of this church. Already, you can't be a pastor. Because you can't stand here and preach any message. You sold yourself at this age. Bishop George wants you. We are having, you've been served. What? You got served. Yeah. We are going to do float. We can go anywhere in Accra. There's nowhere we can't go with brass band. But when we are going, some of you can't go to some areas. You can't go to some areas because the people in the area will say, I don't think. Okay, sorry. Yaya is born again. Yaya. So you can't go anywhere and everywhere. Oh, I'm having a good time this morning. I'm having a good time. You don't want it. You want to be free. Then use the Broadway and destroy yourself in the end. Number 7. The difficulty of entering new spiritual relationships. You break from your old friends. And you now have to make this LP your spiritual mother. Make this your sister. Some of you guys, the way you are, you can't make any female your sister because you are used to just sex with girls. So being near a girl, you can't remove her blouse. What are you talking about? I mean, what are you talking about? When you are with a girl, it means that you must break through. But here, our relationships are pure. I said they are pure. They are pure. We are not here kissing ourselves, fondling ourselves, having sex. It's a pure one. You can't be pure. Then go to the Broadway. Go. Number 8. The difficulty of identifying with the shame of Christ. It's shameful. It's shameful to be a Christian. It is here. It's only in this building that we are proudly reading the Bible and we are excited and we are running around. Outside here, there are many places you can't go and say you are a Christian. You can't go and say you are a born again Christian. Your friends you were with last night, can you go to them and say, Akadababaya, Ndadababaya, Ndadababaya? It's called the shame of Christ. The shame of Christ. When you say you are a Christian, you are also saying that you identify with the shame of Christ. There are people who only like the glory of something, but not the shame. So Job told his wife that you can't walk with somebody and enjoy only the good things. You must also receive the bad. Otherwise, you are a fool. You are speaking like a fool. You want only where there's happiness, only where there's glory. You want only where there are praises. Anywhere there's a scandal, you don't want to be the place where there's a scandal. That your church is on the internet, they are insulting your church, they are insulting your pastor. You are now a member of ICGC. Then you go and the ICGC pastor is also in court, and you have gone to Perez, and the Perez pastor is at Nogopo, and you have also gone to join Assemblies of God. And Assemblies of God, what are you doing? Learn to stick with things. Yeah, everything has a good part and a bad part. Stick with things. It even makes you a very dangerous person. Because we can't trust him. If I have car keys, I can't give it to you. Because when I'm ready with the car, looking for my car, you have left me. And some of you are like that. You can't be where there are problems. You wait. When we air condition this place, you see that the wicked people will start coming to church. Yeah. And I'm saying, when we put ACs here, you see and know it. We may not say it, but me, when I see, as you are a wicked person, you are evil. I will never. Look, the best friends you have are those who liked you when you were nothing on. Don't let anything separate you. She may be whatever, she has changed. Just like the person. The best friends are the friends you had nothing. Like how you were when your husband married you at that time. Even you yourself, you don't want to look at your own pictures. But he still said, I will marry you. That's a man. That's a man. I mean, I didn't have any man when I was even having my wedding. That a man, a real proper man, must wed his wife. You rent chairs, you buy minerals, you fry fish, you rent a hall, you pay money for a wedding cake. You cut the cake with your left hand is at the back of your wife. You are cutting the cake with your wife. You paid for the cake. I had nothing. The only contribution was the suit I was wearing. But there was a girl who still said, I like you. Oh, no. I can't play with that girl. I can't play with that girl. So you, as you have come with your pointed breasts and high heels, pointed breasts, you are not, when I see you, I laugh in my head. I laugh in my head. You don't know where we have come from. I should stop preaching. We stick with shame. We stick with glory. Can you stand up and clap for yourself that you are in a hot church service? Clap, everybody, clap. Don't clap for me. Clap for yourself. Clap for yourself that you are in a hot church service. You are here. I see you. We are here. So when the air conditioner comes and we are here, I don't have two minds about you. I respect you still. But that girl, Linda, who never came here till ACs came, maybe you will be impressed with her. I have no respect for her. Clap again for yourself. That you are in a church service like this. With a towel. Yes. It won't be like this all the time. A day is going to come, there will be towels on the floor. There'll be lights dropping from the ceiling. Jesus, help me. And that's how you must be. Don't change. Remember people who have loved you when you were nothing. If they have problems one day, stick with them. Be there. Yes, I will never do this when I grow up, but you've done it. It's a mistake. I'm still with you. And that's Christ. What makes it a narrow way is that, Charlie, you know that Christ who heals your cancer, heals your eye, gives you breakthrough, gives you visa, gives you a wife. There's also some places where if you mention him, you will lose your job. It's shameful to associate with him. There is nothing on earth that has only positive attributes. Nothing. Everything has got positive. Even we has positive things. Alcohol has positive things. That's why we read the Bible. It is the Bible that tells us that prostitutes have positive things. There is nothing that only has negative or only positive, including your mother at home. So when you meet somebody who only likes the positive, and when the negative shows up, the person vanishes. You are looking at a dangerous person. Dangerous person. Today I want to tell you, the Christ who saved us, the Christ who healed us and heals us, is also somebody who has got shame. It's not everywhere you can mention Jesus and not have shame. It's not everywhere. There are places, most of us, where we are, when you are eating, shall we pray? Father, we bless you for the food. Sanctify it. Thank you for this fellowship. It's not everywhere when you are eating. You can even bow your head and pray. People are like, oh, what's this? There's a guy who is now ranking high. This is number one or so in golf. Schaefer, born again, spirit filled. He talks about God, Holy Ghost, as if he's not in America. Say Jesus. I mean, he speaks Jesus like his teeth, freely, among people who don't even go to church. Totally unbeliever world, but he doesn't care at all. May God give you skill and ability that will make you still relevant in spite of what you believe. In spite of what you believe, you can mention Jesus in a shop, Jesus in a meeting. Let us pray. And you mention, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray. No matter who is there, because you are also a very important person. It's called the shame. The shame. The shame of Christ. Can you pray in tongues among your friends? Can you even say a prayer? Can you share the word of God with your friends? With your classmates? In a taxi? God wants people who will stand for him. I said God wants people who will stand for him. And may you one day become someone that God will be proud of and say, this person stood for me. I will also stand for him. That is what the Bible says in Mark 8. Anybody who is not ashamed of me, I will also not be ashamed of him. Because God always looks at your behavior and responds to your behavior. So you are ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you. You testify of him, he will also testify of you. Lift your hands. I want us to close. Next week we continue. Lift your hands. Next week when I come, I'm starting from number 9.9. God willing. The narrow way. Pray. Mayandala Baba. Embrakuzi Mayandala Baba. Nahata Kataba. Ramama. Lift your hand and say, you be a bold Christian. You will stand for Jesus. 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 You will love Jesus. Ah, lift your hands. Jesus, I love you. I'll stand for you. Among my friends, I'll stand for you. I will stick with you. I will love you. Oh, Jesus. My Lord and my Master. La bazata baba baba. Le mako shabahata laba. Re kastala bayande. Marababazata. Father, we thank you. And every eye closed and every head bowed. You are here today. You want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be born again. I want to give my life to Jesus. You've preached about Jesus. You've preached about the narrow way. You've preached about the way we must walk. There's no way I can do this without Jesus. I want to surrender to Jesus. Pastor, pray for me. If you are here like that, just lift your hand. I want to pray for you. You want to say, Pastor, I want to walk with Jesus. I want Jesus to be my master and my savior. Pastor, I want to be born again today. I'm in church today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Pastor, I want to be born again today. I want to receive Jesus. Lift your hand wherever you are. If you want to receive Jesus. I see your hand. I see your hand. Lift it high. Lift your hand high. I can see. You want Jesus? If you don't want him, that's fine. But if you want him, lift your hands. Lift your hand high. Pastor, I want to be born again. I want to give my life to Jesus. If your hand is up, you want to receive Jesus, come to me here. Come to me here. I want to pray with you here. Come. Come. Stand here. Yeah, down here. Anybody else wants to come to Jesus today? You want to give your life to Christ? You want to be born again? You want to surrender to him? You want to start a new life with Jesus? Let's lift up our hands and pray and say, Heavenly Father, lift your hands. Young man, lift your two hands. Yes, say, Jesus, I thank you for today. I surrender my life to you. I realize I am a sinner. I realize I'm not born again. Wash my sins. Make me your child. I want to live for you. I want to walk with you. I want to serve you all the days of my life. I thank you for my salvation. Thank you for sweet salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Please go to our pastor here. She'll talk to you. Yes, let her go. Let him go. Clap your hands. Don't stop clapping.
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and affected by the Word of God preached by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Do join one of our lovely services from the Makenna Cathedral near Valley View University, Oyibi, Accra, this and every weekend at 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, as well as 7:30 a.m. and 12 noon on Sundays. Connect with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo on Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.